I thought one of the most interesting answers we got from him was on coming to Washington and the fact that he wanted to be here. So the way that it worked, according to him, was he was allowed to seek a trade. He calls his agent and says, here are the three teams I want to play for. Let's work on this. One of those teams was the Commanders.
Very unusual for us.
You and I talk all the time about the possibility, now that you have Jaden Daniels in a front office that people respect, of becoming a destination city, of becoming a team that star players, this is a former All-Pro, this is a former Pro Bowler, this is a big name that a bunch of teams would have been curious to add on a cheap deal in the final year of a contract. That you're going to get phone calls from agents now saying, hey, we want to go there. And he explained why he wanted to come here. But this was Deebo Samuel on the show yesterday.
So me and my agent got on a call after John Lynch and the guys granted me permission to seek a trade. We got on a call and he asked me what my top three was, and Washington was one of the top three. And, you know, me not even thinking at the time, just, you know, I was just in the motions of like naming like places where I wanted to go. Over here, they had a really, really good quarterback, just went to the NFC Championship. So like, you know what I'm saying? They're building something special here. So I was like, why not? And then my agent and Adam Peters got to talking, and then we got it done.
Deebo yesterday right here on The Fan. If you missed the interview, you could grab it at thefandc.com when we're done tonight. But isn't that all the evidence you need? Isn't that the proof of what we're talking about? When was the last time that a guy who has played in Pro Bowls and or been named a first-team All-Pro has become available via trade and has ranked the Commanders as one of the top three teams he would want to play for when he's seeking a trade?
You have to go back to the very beginning, honestly, of Snyder, when nobody knew that he was a disaster and the worst ever, and thank God he's gone.
They just knew he would give you all the money.
Well, yeah, when he was Daddy Warbucks, when it was a spare no expense, I can't wait to go down there, and he's assembling a super team coming off of 99, right? You remember the buzz and excitement. His first year as owner, they were better than they'd been basically for the previous decade. The 90s, after 91 and 92, and then Joe Gibbs' last year, were never a wasn't very much fun. Offense in the sport, adding a bunch of stars, and you go, oh my God, we are the it team in the NFL. We are big back. And of course, it couldn't have gone worse.
This was more from Deebo on that subject in his next answer.
You know, they had just, like I just said, they came up NFC Championship. You know, we got a great quarterback, great team. Played against Cliff, he was the offensive coordinator over there. And the head coach over there with the Cardinals. And, like, you know, I'm not too far from home. Some of my family live in Baltimore. So it's like, oh, that plays a role for sure.
So I didn't realize the Baltimore part. That's kind of cool because you are right here with family. He went to South Carolina, was on this coast originally, not out west in San Francisco. So those things bode well. It seems to me like, as we talked more about Cliff in the conversation we had with him, that while he didn't use the word like admired him from afar, those games when you're playing against Arizona and you're seeing some of their scheme and
you
what they're doing.
You notice some stuff, yeah.
Exactly. I think there was an intrigue there, but he did not know Cliff well, which I'm a little surprised by. Like, Kingsbury has a really good relationship with Kyle, Sean McVay, all those guys are at his wedding a few years ago and you know whatever else, or at weddings together, all hanging out, sitting at the same table. I remember Peter Schrager doing a big segment where he posted a bunch of pictures of all the people he hung out with that day on Good Morning Football. Do you remember that bit?
Is that when he strained his back from all the names that he was carrying around that he dropped?
I mean, Peter Schrager was like, here I was with this person. Here I was with this person. And it's like, we get it, man. You were at a wedding with coaches. Like, did you want to tell us any more? We just see.
What was the playlist like?
I couldn't believe that was a segment on TV. I was like, this is a wacky.
What did they do for their first dance? Did they cut the cake?
But anyway, I think specific to Deebo that like he was a fan of Kingsbury's offense, even if he didn't know him really at all. But this is largely about Jaden Daniels and the fact that they got to the NFC Championship game last year and he felt like they had a chance to get back there. Along these lines, did anybody see the comments from DeMarcus Lawrence,
I think it was,
of the Cowboys, who's now at Seattle? He did an interview with Ryan Clark.
Ryan Clark, yep.
And that podcast, The Pivot or whatever it's called. Right? Is that right? Pivot? Yeah. So Clark was interviewing him, and he asked him about ending up in Seattle. And he said, look, I had some options. He name checks Washington straight up, which you and I remember when he became available said, this would be a guy that can rush the quarterback.
Look at that.
He's older. Want that? I don't like the fact that he's 32, but they don't have a problem with age. Why don't they consider paying this guy? And he basically said the Commanders came after him pretty hard. But he said, I didn't want to jump on the bandwagon with a team that's already really good. He said, they were in the NFC Championship game last year. I want to go somewhere where I can help build them up into something. Basically, I didn't want to just hop on in the last second for the team that's about to win the Super Bowl. That's how he was referring to the Washington Commanders. And his lack of interest was that he didn't want to be a bandwagon Johnny-come-lately, basically. What? That's what this is now?
Isn't that crazy?
You don't want to come here because they're already too good?
I don't want to go to some established program, which, by the way, we always underestimate that, right? Where the mentalities of certain guys, what they might want or not want. You know, I don't want to live in cold weather. I don't want to live. I want to live near someplace that has access to a winery. I mean, who knows what they want? But what a strange reason not to come someplace for a chance to win a championship. He's like, no, I don't want to do that. I'd rather build something else. But anyway, put that aside. But that's how he referred to Washington. That was so crazy for me to listen to and hear, where he's going, yeah, that's like as if to say, that's one of the established programs. Like, I'm not going to Baltimore or Kansas City or Buffalo or one of these teams that's ready-made for championship. No. They're too good. I want to go build something. Wait, what?
So this was the interview on The Pivot.
Had an opportunity to, you know, sign with Washington. And it was like, yeah, like, that's a championship contender team. And it's like, me personally, I'm not no bandwagon guy. You know, I'm not going to sit here and, you know, jump on a team because y'all have a good opportunity to go to the championship. It's more of like, well, what am I needed for? If y'all already got that type of team, like, y'all don't need me.
Now, we could debate whether or not that makes any sense. Because to me, I would be like, hey, you're about to win a title. I'm a pretty good player. Let me help you win a title.
You ever think about coming to win a title?
But I don't want to bury the lead of, he was like, yeah, that's a Super Bowl-ish team. I want to go somewhere where they're not a Super Bowl team to help them get there. They're just in that category for this player in the league.
That's the craziest part, man.
Who played them twice last year. Mike in D.C., you're on The Fan. How's it going?
It's going great. How about you?
Good, buddy.
All right, so when I was listening to what y'all were talking about, I remember two Hall of Famers that wanted to come to Washington, and the teams rejected the trade. One was Eric Dickerson back in the day, and the other was Reggie White back in the day. Now, you add Debo to what we're doing, I'm not 1,000% sure that he's going to make this offense prolific. I feel like he takes a lot of the attention off of the middle of the field because he can do a lot there.
Yep.
But, you know, I like his mindset. I'm not mad at it at all. I feel like this is the first time Terry really has a complimentary receiver that will take some attention off of him.
He's never had a player of this caliber, in my opinion, a weapon, I should say, of this caliber at receiver, you know, who can, to your point, help just take a little attention away. I think that's fair. And if it doesn't work, Debo gets hurt. Debo proves that last year's regression was actually him slowing down and not just an offseason. However that happens, you just didn't give up much. It was a fifth-round pick, and it's below market for a player of his upside. The juice is worth the squeeze on paying him in the teens and $1 million against the cap.
If I give up a fifth-round pick and I get 800 total yards, pretty much what he did last year, okay.
In a bad year.
Yeah, sign me up immediately. Again, that to me is the floor. Right, is where last year wasn't very good for him. It's why San Francisco didn't mind parting. A fifth-round pick for that, for a team with some pretty high aspirations, is 100% worth it. So you don't have to look any further than that.